my dear friends in Christ, every feast, especially a great feast of our Blessed Mother, such as we celebrate today, should be a source of joy to the hearts of those who love our Blessed Mother. And indeed, we all, in this age of darkness and confusion, need a great devotion to our Blessed Mother in order to persevere, in order to counter the attacks of the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and in order to save our souls. We also, as Americans, should have a great joy in that the Immaculate Conception, this title of our Blessed Mother, was proclaimed by the bishops of the United States in the 1800s as the titular feast of our country, that our Blessed Mother, under this title, was chosen as the patroness of our country. And that choice was made even before the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception by Pope Pius IX in 1854. The Immaculate Conception is one of the prerogatives, as we say, or the privileges given to our Blessed Mother. Theologians list 9 privileges given to our Blessed Mother. The first and the greatest is that of her divine maternity. And that was the source of all the other privileges given to our Blessed Mother. These unique gifts given to her to fit her to be a worthy Mother of God. So the divine maternity is the first of the privileges or prerogatives given to our Blessed Mother. And then we have the remaining 8 are classified as the 4 negative and the 4 positive privileges. The negative privileges simply mean a freedom from something bad. The first is the Immaculate Conception, freedom from original sin. Second is her perpetual virginity, freedom from any defilement of her virginity and virginal integrity. The third is her absolute sinlessness, and that is freedom from all actual sin. And then the fourth is her freedom from corruption in the grave, her assumption into heaven. And then we have the 4 positive privileges, and if I can remember them, they would be that she is mediatrix of all graces, the fullness of grace that was given to her, her role as the spiritual mother of men, and her dominion, the queenship, over all angels and men. But theologians tell us of all of these privileges given to our Blessed Mother, the one that delights her most, the one that she treasures the most, is the Immaculate Conception. And some theologians have posited this question, if our Blessed Mother, and of course this could not be, but if she were given the choice to have one or the other, either her Immaculate Conception or the privilege of being the Mother of God, the Divine Maternity, she would even forego the privilege of being Mother of God if it meant one or the other. Because the Immaculate Conception means that she was never, for even a moment or a second of time, tainted with any sin, original or actual. She was always free from sin. And the Immaculate Conception only stands to reason because it would be unthinkable that our Divine Lord, the Son of God, the God-man, would come into the world and be born of a woman who had been, even for a moment, under the dominion of the devil. It would be unthinkable. And thus, the privilege of the Immaculate Conception is the lone exemption to the universal law that all human beings are conceived in original sin. There are many wonderful stories in the Old Testament concerning persons or things which prefigured our Lord, our Blessed Mother, and the various mysteries of redemption. And among the ones of our Blessed Mother is a story about a woman named Esther, found in the book of Esther in the Old Testament. And as the story goes, during the captivity of the Jewish people in the 5th century BC, this woman was born to parents who died in her youth, and so she was orphaned. And she was adopted by her uncle, whose name was Mordecai. And Mordecai raised this young girl, Esther, in virtue and trained her very carefully. And he was a very devout observer of the law. And so she imbibed this love of the law and love of God from him. Well, it came to pass when she reached adulthood that the king of this pagan nation repudiated his wife for dishonoring him. And he sent his servants through all the kingdom to find the most beautiful women they could so that he could choose one to be the queen. And among all of these, he chose Esther. Now, Mordecai had very carefully told her, don't tell anybody your origin, your nationality, that you are a Jew. And so the king did not know her background when he married her, made her the queen. And as time went on, it so happened that there was a man who hated the Jewish people. His name was Aman. And Aman one day prevailed upon the king because he was the prime minister of the kingdom. He prevailed upon the king to allow him to issue a decree that on a certain day, all the Jews would be killed. And that anyone had permission to kill the Jews and take their property and so forth. And Mordecai told his niece, who is now queen, you've got to do something about this. You are the only one in a position who can ask the king to revoke this decree. And Esther was terrified. She said, well, the king has a decree that no one can enter his presence unless he or she is called for. And if I enter his presence without being called, I could be executed. And Mordecai said, but you must do this for our people. And she said, all right, have everyone pray and fast. And I also will fast and pray. And then after 3 days, I will go into the presence of the king uncalled for, exposing my life to danger for the sake of my people. And she did so. And the king smiled at her and was very gracious to her and said, ask me whatever you want. Even if you ask for half the kingdom, it will be given to you, Esther. Well, she asked the king to come to a banquet. And to make a long story short, she said, my people have a most wicked enemy who seeks our destruction. And then she revealed that she was a member of the Jewish people. And the king said to her, well, that law is made for everyone except you. That law applies to everyone else. It doesn't apply to you. But then she went on to prevail upon him to revoke the law, and it ended up that Aman was executed and that the Jews were able to avenge themselves of their against their enemies. But note the words of the kingdom, of the king. That law was made for everyone, Esther, except for you. And that is the way it is with the law of original sin. It applies to every human being with the sole exception of our Blessed Mother, our tainted nature's solitary boast, as the poet would put it. And we know that Our Lady delights in this title of her Immaculate Conception. In 1830, she appeared to St. Catherine Laboure in Paris and gave her what we call the Miraculous Medal. But did you know that the original name, and still the official name for that medal, is the Medal of the Immaculate Conception? Because around our Blessed Mother, around the oval on the front side of the medal, are the words, O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. That is a wonderful ejaculation that I encourage you to use. You know, we have our morning and night prayers that we should say every day, our daily rosary, but we also should make use of ejaculatory prayer, simple, short prayers that we can say wherever we are and whatever we're doing. We don't have to stop and kneel down and make the sign of the cross to say it. Just to say ejaculations from time to time during the day is a wonderful way of maintaining an idea, an awareness of the presence of God, and of obtaining God's help at that moment. And this, among others, is a very powerful one. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And one other thought that helps us see the value that our Blessed Mother places upon this privilege would be the apparitions at Lourdes in southern France in 1858. just a little more than 3 years after the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And Bernadette was asking Our Lady, each time she appeared, or at least often, tell me your name. And it finally was on the 25th of March, the Feast of the Annunciation and Incarnation, that Our Lady gave to Bernadette her name. And if you read the account, it's very moving. Our Blessed Mother became very solemn and almost trembling with emotion as she said the words and spread her hands. She said, I am the Immaculate Conception. And that's very interesting because she identified herself with this privilege that she so cherishes, that of being not only the Mother of God and being filled with so many other blessings, but of having been chosen to be the one conceived without original sin in order that she might be a worthy vessel to bring forth the Savior of the world. And thus we can see how appropriate it is that we celebrate this feast of the Immaculate Conception during the season of Advent as we are preparing to celebrate our Lord's birth. Let us rejoice on this feast of our Blessed Mother and honor her, and remember that the best feast day gift you can give to our Blessed Mother is to strive to become like her, which in turn is becoming like her Son, to try to avoid all sin. And if you ask her, she will help you to do so, to overcome not only mortal sin, which kills the soul, but even venial sin, which offends God. And if it offends God, then it ought to be avoided by those who love God. Let us strive to avoid every sin and thus to imitate our Immaculate Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.